rarely done, because it seems like we have so many distractions, so many things that are going on in our lives, that we very rarely ever practice meditation. So what we're going to talk about is and then we're going to do some meditation. When you hear the word meditation, what do you think of? What? Buddhists. Okay, what else? Monks. Relaxation. Okay, you think of kind of weird stuff, right? And really, meditation, the whole idea of meditation is focus and focusing your attention. You know, what is it, the Karate Kid 2? You must focus your focus, you know. It's a way to focus in, and here's the deal. Most Christians don't focus in on God. We're so distracted by so many things. How many of you guys are ADD? Attention deficit disorder? Oh yeah, my brothers, my sisters. Yeah, I am massively ADD. That's attention deficit disorder, and so it's one of those deals where it's very hard for me to focus. Like right now, I'm thinking three or four different things. When I'm in a meeting, that's extremely difficult. Because, you know, if I'm in a meeting with the president and in the president's cabinet, I need to focus, because you never know when the president's going to go, hey, Mark, what do you think? So it's extremely difficult. Some of you who are not ADD, you don't relate to that, but I mean, there's like 10, 20 different things going on in my head right away. Like right now, I'm sitting here going, okay, there's people coming in, there's, you know, should I tell everybody to come together? No, I shouldn't tell everybody to come together, because we're not going to need that, but maybe we ought to. Oh man, I should have brought my backpack, because I have a journal. All that's going on in my head right now. I'm just sharing that with you. So a lot of times what we have is ADD Christians who really don't focus in on we really don't focus in on God. We don't focus in on His Word. I would dare say that many of you who have been Christians for years have never even read through the Bible once. You've not even read through the Bible one time. How many of you have been a Christian for 10 years? Raise your hand. You've been a Christian for 5 years? Raise your hand. Man, you know, Hebrews, the 5th chapter, says we are slow to learn. And part of that is because we haven't really focused our attention, our mind on, and what he says is, we are no longer able to determine that which is right and that which is wrong. That which is good, that which is evil. And so, guys, a lot of us fall to temptation a lot. Why? It's because we really haven't focused in. We haven't meditated on God's Word. We really haven't. So we're too busy talking. We're too busy thinking about other things. Hey, how many of you, when you pray, your mind wanders? You know, it's like you're trying to pray. I was at this retreat, this men's retreat that I was speaking at, and I was, we had this time, we were supposed to just pray and reflect on the Word, and I wrote in my journal, I wrote, man, wow, it's good to spend time with you, God. Hey, what was that bird? Man, did anybody hear that bird? How loud that bird was? And you know, I'm like, no, I need to focus in. And I was like, man, see those guys walking with coffee? Where did they get that coffee? You know, no, I really need to focus. I need to pray. Hey, those guys over there are talking. They're not supposed to be doing that. They're not following, you know, the guidelines of what they told us. No, and I'm writing in my journal, you need to focus, Willie. And I'm going, man, did you see that animal that just ran across there? I wonder if anybody saw the animal. And you know, I'm just going, is it over yet? Is the time up yet? Are we ready to go yet? Some of the guys are walking back. I mean, all of those things that were distracting me from focus. In fact, there was a group of guys back in the early days of the church, about the 300s, and they started this practice of going into the desert. They're actually called the Desert Fathers, and they would go into the desert because they were trying to get away from all the distractions. And they went there to meditate. And meditation goes all the way back, even before Christ. In fact, Caleb, there's some passages of Scripture here. Meditation. First of all, Psalm 19, verse 14. Listen to this. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 49, 3 says, my mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. Psalm 104, verse 34. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 48, 9. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Psalm 77, 12. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Then you will be prosperous and successful if you meditate on the word. If you do that. So what is meditation? Well, let's keep going. Psalm 119 has several verses where it talks about. Verse 15 says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. And by the way, that's right after he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. That's if you want to. If you want to. If you want to keep your way pure. There's many of us who don't. That's the truth. That's really the truth. Many of us don't want to keep our way pure, and so we don't meditate on the word. In fact, guys, listen, Psalm 66:18 says, it's not up here. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard my prayer. Let me say it again. Psalm 66:18 said, if I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard my prayer. So, hey, if you feel like that your prayer is not heard by God, it might be that you're delighting in those things that, and you're not meditating on God's word. So, Psalm 119, verse 23 says, though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Verse 27, cause me to understand the way of your precepts that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. The next one, verse 48, I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Guys, you want to keep your way pure. You want to get closer to God. This is written by David, who was called a man after God's own heart. Well, how did he become a man after God's own heart? Well, a big part of that is meditation. And we really don't talk about that a lot in the church, which is a tragedy. Psalm 119, going on, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Verse 99. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Psalm 119, verse 148. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night. How can you possibly stay awake? You know, if you're dealing with the word, if you're preaching, hearing preaching, you know, people fall asleep on stuff like that. He says, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Then Psalm 145, verse 5, the New Living Translation, he says, I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. You ever wonder why we move away from God? It's because we don't meditate on God. And so we think that meditation is this weird kind of thing. It is somewhat mystical. It is somewhat of this wild kind of thing. And maybe that's why Christians are afraid of it. It's like when the Holy Spirit used to be known as the Holy Ghost. And so a lot of people don't know much about the Holy Spirit because they're like, oh, man, that's so weird. No, a lot of times it's because we haven't really focused our attention on God. So, guys, here's what we want to try. I just ran through those, but what we want to try is different forms of meditation that were introduced by the early church fathers. What did they do? And so not only are we going to just talk about it, but we're going to practice it. Okay? And so I'm going to show you several. There's actually four up here. Or four that we're going to walk through. There's more than that, but I want to just talk to you about four that we will practice. And by the way, I was with at a Christ in Youth discipleship weekend that had high school young people, and this was the first time, really, that I got introduced to different forms of meditation and focus. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through these. The first one, and guys, it may seem weird to you, and we'll discuss it here in a little bit, but here's, let's walk through the first one. The first one, what I'd like for you to do is close your eyes. I always hate when people say that, but there's a purpose to this, okay? I want you to close your eyes. I want you to relax. That's why I didn't say, hey, all of you get together, because this is really a you thing, okay? So I want you to relax. I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to give you a picture. And so what I would like for you to do is, in your mind, picture this whole room filled with the Holy Spirit. However that might be, the Bible in Isaiah 6, Isaiah walked in and he sees Adonai high and lifted up. He says the whole place was filled with the Spirit of God. Spirit, Greek word for spirit is pneuma, which means wind. So you might just picture a gentle breeze flowing through here. And the Holy Spirit is holy. And so if the Holy Spirit is here and you're focusing in on the Holy Spirit, what I'd like for you to do is picture the Holy Spirit here. Holiness. And I'd like for you just to practice this form of meditation. Through your nose, just breathe in the Spirit. Just breathe deeply in the Spirit and exhale through your mouth. Just exhale self. Just gently breathe in the Spirit and get rid of self. Whatever those things are, they're involved in yourself. Whatever that is, I want you to take just a few seconds, leave all the distractions. Picture the whole room filled with the Spirit. And you want to breathe in the Spirit and exhale yourself. If it's pride, if it's anger, whatever that is, in your mind, inhale the Spirit and exhale self. Do that several times. Focus in on the Spirit of God. Breathe in the Spirit and exhale self. Just do that several times. If you start to lose focus, then keep your eyes closed. Picture the Spirit moving in this room. Focus in on your breathing through your nose and exhaling through your mouth. Okay, you can open your eyes. So what did you think of that simple exercise of meditation? What did you think? How many of you thought that was weird? Nobody thought it was weird? Okay, how many of you liked that exercise? Okay, why'd you like that exercise, Brandon?
It was just like
Zach. I said Brandon again. Zach. Okay. Okay. Say it loud. Yeah. Okay, what else? Anybody else like that or think it was weird or different? What'd you think? Do what? Why was it relaxing? Yeah. Very good. Yeah, it's a way to focus. That's the whole thing. That's the whole idea. And guys, even if it's for a few minutes, you know, if you are filled with anxiety, it's a way to calm. And how do you calm down? Is it by some mystical, magical thing? No, it's really focusing in, as David said in the Psalms, it's focusing in on the majesty of God. It's taking the attention off. It's also getting rid of some of those things that are in your heart. Okay, let's try a second form. Second form is a focus. It's the same kind of thing, except when you breathe in, and usually you breathe in through your nose, that helps you kind of focus. It sounds weird, but that helps you focus. And that's what they would do. They would breathe in. They would do it just like this. They would breathe in, "Oh Lord God," exhale, "Have mercy on me." That's what the ancient fathers would do. "Oh Lord God, have mercy on me." It's a way to focus in on the glory of God. Just the night before last, I was reading through Habakkuk. Man, the end of Habakkuk is just incredible, talking about how God forgives, how God loves. And so, man, I just laid in bed and breathed in the, just, "Oh Lord God, have mercy on me." That helps us to focus in, okay? So once again, if you can, just close your eyes. I know there's distractions all around. I know there's all kinds of things to think about, people around you, but if you can just block them out and focus on the Lord, okay? Again, close your eyes. And if your mind starts to wander, just breathe in and think these words, "Oh Lord God," and maybe even whisper them, "Oh Lord God," and exhale through your mouth, "Have mercy on me. Oh Lord God, have mercy on me." Focus on God. Okay, you can open up your eyes. So what'd you think about that exercise? I mean, you thought it was weird. Nobody thought that was weird. It's interesting. How many of you didn't like that? You all enjoyed that. What did you enjoy about it? What did you like about it? Yeah, Caleb.
It was kind of on the fence about enjoying it, not enjoying it. Part of it is just, it's really humbling, like, in a way that's both comforting and uncomforting. It's, you know, you're admitting fault and self, and you're admitting that you aren't enough, that you can't do enough.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, last night I was reading, whatever the book is after Habakkuk, I read through Nahum. And Nahum, at the end of it, says, God says, "You know, I'm really tired of all of these idol worshipers who think that they can get by on their own strength." I thought, wow. That's me. I'm a control freak. And so, yeah, it reminds us that we are dependent upon God. Yeah, and just for a few seconds, few seconds in the day we're able to focus in on God. Is that goofy? I don't think so. I don't think so. Read Nahum sometime. You know, he says at the end, everybody seems focused on everything else except me. And God wants our attention. So meditation is a way to do that. Okay, what did you like about that one? What else? Somebody over here. Yeah. Say it loud. Yeah. It is a way to calm yourself down. And some of you, man, there's all kinds of stuff maybe going on at home. There's all kinds of stuff going on in your life. And it's a way to still your soul. Psalm 46:11 says, be still and know that I am God. Just be still. Okay, so guys, we're hitting on these pretty quickly. Let's go to third form. Third form is prayer. And you go, what? Prayer is communication at all times. Communication at all times. So it is a matter of, in fact, Paul says in the New Testament, pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that without running into walls and stuff like that? Well, prayer can be a form of meditation where your mind is on God all day. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like if I'm walking around and I see students, then it's a matter of, instead of going, hey, what about this person? What about, it's a matter of focusing in on them and praying for them so that your mind is always on Christ. Romans 12 says, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in other words, if I'm walking along and I see Hannah, I can just go, God, would you move in her? Would you help her to be the woman of God that she needs to be, that she wants to be? God, would you help her to be an incredible leader on this campus because she can? God, thank you for her mom who's a godly woman. Thank you for that. See, that's just a matter of, instead of going, hey, there's Hannah, it's a matter of saying, wow, focus in on her. Or if I see Stoney, I'm like, God, be with Stoney. Help him to grow, to be a strong man of God. God, help him to be an influence on this campus, in this world. Help him to do that, because it's so hard for him to do that. It's so hard for him to go counterculture. It's so hard. So if I'm, instead of just going, hey, Stoney, you know, if those things are going on in my mind, then I'm able to focus. And so that's a form of meditation. You go, man, how can you possibly meditate all day long? Well, that's a way that you could do that. That's a way, you know, if I'm coming into contact with somebody, or the Lord places people in my mind, right? Does you too. You know, if you're sensitive to the Lord, if you get sensitive to him, you know, or it may be a matter, you know, of simply saying, God, help me to be as strong and excited about the Lord like that person is. Help me to do that. Help me to be like them. Guys, I got to tell you, there's other students, and I'm walking along, and I'm praying, God, crush them. What? Yeah, crush them so that, God, you can build them up. And God, however I need to do that, help me. Crush me if I need to be crushed. So those are ways, guys. What would happen if we prayed for each other? See, what would happen if we did that? And we actually told each other about that. You know, Zach, if I told you, if I said, man, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying that your life would make a difference. I'm praying that you would become a strong man of God. And, you know, if I walked up and told you that, what would you think? You'd be humbled. Guys, if we prayed and meditated all day long, if we did that, it could make a difference on other people. There could be, I mean, it could make a strong difference. You know, what, Stoney, what are you going to say if I walk up and say, hey, I'm praying for you? And you go, what are you going to say? You know, you're going to say, don't pray for me. Well, sorry, I'm going to anyway. You know, It is one of those things where you know that we are praying for each other. And man, that's a form of meditation. And writing notes to somebody saying, I want you to know I'm praying for you. There's nobody I pray for as much as I pray for students at Dallas Christian College. And I can do that every time I see you. Every time I see you. I might not even know your name, but I can pray for you. That's a form of meditation. And the fourth is what they call Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina is really divine reading. That's divine reading. And so we want to practice that. We're going to do this a little bit. And what that means is that we really focus in on the Word. Okay? Go ahead and go to the next one. Next slide. Next. Caleb. Go to the next one. Yeah. This is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is a German theologian. He says this, the word of Scripture should never stop sounding in your ears and working in you all day long, just like the words of someone you love. And just as you do not analyze the words of someone you love, but accept them as they are said to you, accept the word of Scripture and ponder it in your heart, as Mary did. Next. That is all. Don't ask, how shall I pass this on? But what does it say to me? Then ponder this word long in your heart until it has gone right into you and taken possession of you. Okay, we're going to practice this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you just to prepare yourself to hear the word of the Lord. Okay? I'm going to share a passage of Scripture. In fact, you're going to hear it a couple of different ways with a couple of different people. Okay? So I want you to think about what one word, maybe what one phrase speaks to you in this passage of Scripture. Okay? And just like the other times, I want you to relax and close your eyes if you choose. But I really want you to focus in on what is being said. Hey, don't pay attention to anybody around you. If you need to close your eyes, whatever you need to do, I want you to listen to this word. Listen for one phrase, one thought. Okay? Are you ready? And ask yourself this question. What does this word, this passage, say to me? Okay, you ready? Listen for one word, one phrase. If you need to breathe in and exhale a couple of times just to get yourself ready to focus in on this word. Okay, prepare yourself. Listen to the word. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Think about that word. Okay, was there a word or phrase that stood out to you when you heard that scripture? If there was, simply lean to the person next to you and just whisper that word. Maybe just one word that spoke to you. Just whisper that word to someone near you. Do it now. You can go get near somebody if you want to. that's okay. Then go that way. Okay, what one word did you hear? Yeah, Caleb.
The workers are
few. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah.
Compassion.
Anybody else? What else?
Passion.
What?
Passion.
Compassion.
I was going to say compassion.
Okay, compassion. Anybody else? A different word? Okay.
Healing.
Healing every disease and sickness. Yeah.
Lord of the harvest.
Lord of the harvest. Okay. Guys, here's what I'd like for you to do. We're going to say the same verse again. I want you to prepare yourself to hear the word of God. It's the word of God. So prepare yourself however you need to. If you need to focus in, get ready to listen intently to the word of God. Someone else is going to read it. I want you to listen intently for another word or phrase that may speak to you. I'll take a few seconds. Prepare yourself. Focus in. Get rid of distractions. Listen to the word. Think about the word that you've just heard. Okay, what one word or phrase did you hear this time? Was it a different word? Was it the same word? Just lean over to the person around you and just whisper what word or phrase stood out to you this time. So was it a different word or the same word? A different word. Who said different? What was the word this time?
Harassed.
And
that word always, to me, seems like heresies.
Yeah. Now it's just harassed, bothered, cumbered down with worry. That's what the Greek word means. Yeah.
The harvest is coming.
Okay. Rather than compassion. Okay. Proclaimed. Yeah.
What is the whole phrase of proclaiming the good news of the kingdom?
Good news of the kingdom. Yeah, I asked my Acts class this. Is the gospel good news? Is it?
Yes.
What?
That's your question, yes.
I'm just asking. Corey, you said no. Why? No. Corey. Well, I thought you were saying, no, it's not good news.
It's yes and no.
I had some guys in the class that said, no, it's not good news. Because the gospel means that I can't do some of the things I want to do. Really? Yeah. You know, for a while, I thought the gospel was not good news. Because it was going to stop me from doing all the things that I wanted to do. But it's actually those things that I wanted to do that never seemed to satisfy. You know what I'm talking about? They never seem to satisfy. When you think about it, pornography, it never seems to satisfy. You know, you always want more. You always want a different type of thing. You want a different type of interaction. Yeah, the gospel. It's good news because it gives peace. Gives peace. Okay. to read it again. Same passage. You're going, what? Same passage. Yeah, same passage. But this time, I want you to ask, in fact, it's up here, what is it in my life that needed to hear this word today, or where am I in this text? Okay, I want you to think about that question. Prepare yourself to hear the word a third time. Same passage. But ask yourself, what is it in my life that needed to hear this word today, or where am I in this text? Okay, so prepare yourself to hear the word of God. Prepare yourself. If that takes focus, if that means closing your eyes, breathing, do that. Focus in. You ready? Listen to the word of God. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Think about it. What is it in your life that needs to hear that word today? Where are you in that text? Think about it. You got it? We're going to read through it a fourth time. The fourth time, here's a question. Is there an invitation or a challenge for me to respond to? Is there an invitation or challenge for me to respond to? Okay? So prepare yourself to hear it again. Listen intently. If you need to focus, practice breathing and prepare yourself. Get rid of distractions. Prepare yourself to hear the word of God. Get ready. Listen now to the word of God. Is there an invitation or a challenge for me to respond to? Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He turned to his disciples and said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Think about it. Is there a challenge for you from that passage today? Think about it. Meditate on it right now. Okay, that's Lectio Divina in one form. Lectio Divina, divine reading. It's truly trying to listen paying attention to God's word. It's paying attention to it. Meditating on it. That's what it is. So how many of you got something out of that passage of Scripture? Raise your hand. If you got something out of that passage of Scripture, raise your hand high. Okay. What'd you get? What'd you get, Zach, out of that Scripture? Reassurance of calling. Yeah, Caleb, what'd you get out of it?
Well, the first word I got was the workers are few. The second word I got was pray that you send out the workers. And so in that, I felt that God was calling out of me the worker out of my passiveness. And it doesn't say the Christians are few or the churches are few. It's the workers are few. So.
Yeah. Hannah, what'd you get out of that? Guys, if you really get into the Word of God, if you meditate on the Word of God, it will change you. It'll become emotional because it's powerful. And guys, if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, then we need to talk about that. Okay? And I'll be glad to share absolute proofs that this is God's Word. And maybe that's why a lot of Christians avoid it. I think I've shared with some of you guys, man, there were times that I would just literally throw my Bible up against a wall when I first started reading it because I didn't like what was there. But the more I filled myself up meditating on the Word of God, the more I grow in Christ. By the way, this particular passage of Scripture, somebody else used this. And so I'm sharing with what they used in an exercise like this, the same passage. But this very passage is why I work at Dallas Christian College. It's not for a paycheck. I'm paid well, but it's not a paycheck. I've stayed here for 34 years. And the reason I've stayed here is the very reason I came is to raise up workers for the harvest field. That's my whole goal. Right out of this passage. Man, I could tell you some deep things about this passage from studying it, but the other part is just enjoying it. Okay, one more, a different version of Lectio Divina. A different version of Lectio Divina. Okay? And a different way to do this, let's see, do we have it up there? Go back. Yeah, this is identifying with the text. Identifying with the text. It's reading the text from each person's perspective and taking time to meditate on what each person felt and meditate on what you would feel. Okay, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. What I'd like for you to do is put yourself in the mind frame of a woman. Okay? Mind frame of a woman who has sinned greatly. She's sinned. In fact, she's probably a high-dollar prostitute. She's done some things that are horrible. She sold her body. She's well known as a sinner. I want you to, if you need to close your eyes and picture this story playing out in front of you. You ready? Prepare yourself to hear the word of God. Focus in so you can listen intently to what's happening in this story. Put yourself in the mindset, which is not hard for me, of a sinful person. Prepare your minds. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him $500 and the other $50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the sins or debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love is shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to you, "The woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Think of the story from Luke, from the woman's perspective. Meditate on that just for a few seconds. Focus in on her and maybe you. Think about how you would feel if you were the woman. Now I'm going to read the story a second time. I want you to picture in your mind Jesus, the character of Jesus in this story. Think about the scene. Think about what's happening. Think about Jesus. Prepare your minds to listen to the story. Take away distractions. Listen carefully. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him $500 and the other owed him $50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave their debts, both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins, they're forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Think about looking at this story through the eyes of Jesus. Do you see it differently? Okay, guys, if we had time, we would look at it through the eyes of Simon. You can do this with a variety of passages of Scripture. You don't need somebody to read it to you. Just read it several times, like read Luke 7 through the eyes of the woman. Or you could read the story of the prodigal son through the eyes of the son who's lost his way. Or you could look at it through the eyes of the big brother who's jealous. Or you could look at the story of the prodigal son through the eyes of Jesus, how he sees it. That's Lectio Divina. Guys, this is meditation. It's a variety of ways to meditate on the Word of God and on God himself. Okay, we only have a couple of minutes left. Hey, like five people to share what you got out of this session. Five people to share what you got out of this session, and then you can go to lunch. Maybe different people besides those who have shared. Five people, what'd you get out of this? Abby?
That you can use these steps to go through certain passages to help you get a better meaning of it or get a better understanding out of it.
Yeah,